today on The Breakdown. There's five left in a $25,000 buy-in event. Yes, it's the United States Poker Open event number 11 at the Aria Resort and Casino. And it is a star-studded final five. Well, I mean, you've heard of some of these people. David Peters, he's a star. Dan Shack, does he count? Vanessa Kate? Jake Daniels? I don't know. I don't know if these people count. But here's the thing that you should know. There's a lot of money on the line, of course. There's still over $330,000, well, almost, to be won. And Vanessa Cade and Ivan Zufik, who have both have had extreme success online recently in tournaments, although not a lot of live success, are going to face off in a hand with five players left, with all the money still to be won. And I'm just going to say, I am befuddled, bemused, and just straight up be confused about how Ivan Zufik plays this hand. And I'm really interested to see if we can find ways that this makes sense, if this is good. I mean, this guy won the mini main event last year. This guy, I don't know. Let's get into it right now on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Befuddled, bemused, and be confused.
It's pretty good.
I was pretty pleased with that.
Good. I'm glad that you were pleased with
that. It's one of those things where people are going to think, I thought about that beforehand. I came up with it before. No, that's just straight up fire, yo.
I don't know if they're going to give that one the creative credit that maybe you think it deserves. Like,
that guy has a whole team of writers, and he's taking credit for it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, he said the words be confused.
Come on. Befuddled, bemused, and be confused.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking clever.
Oh, Rick and Morty's going to call you up.
That is going to get stolen. People are going to use that.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live.
I mean, Saturday Night Live might. They're struggling, in my opinion. Rick and Morty's firing on all cylinders all the time, but that's right. I said it. On all cylinders.
Wow. Strong take.
Yeah, I know. Strong take. Good show. And it's back, thank God. Anyway, poker is back.
Poker is back. Actually, that's a good way to put it because this is the U.S. Poker Open 2021. We're playing maskless poker live.
Yeah.
And everybody seems pretty safe. Feels like it's going to be safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because here we're lucky here in the U.S. We have a good situation with all that. But they're here. They're playing. They're playing big stakes. And these two players are new money in poker.
Yeah.
Like, these are grinders who have recently hit it big and decided to try the higher stakes, basically, is what's going on here.
That's right. I mentioned that Ivan Zufik won the mini main event last year. That's, of course, online. Up until then, his biggest score, at least according to Hendon, was an $18,000 score, but winning the mini main was for $855,000, and so now he's buying himself into these more expensive events. Fair enough. By the way, he's already cashed in this event because six players get paid and there's only five.
I mean,
left.
Both of these players are living the grinder's dream, right?
Yes.
Like, they're probably making it, you know, like living a medium comfortable lifestyle, and then you just hit a big one. Like, he hit that. Vanessa Cade famously won $1.5 million on a $215 buy-in.
The Poker Star Sunday Million, yeah. 15th anniversary event. I'm sure she was doing well. She was already a Poker Stars Pro, so she was making some money that way. She was also, I guess she wasn't a PokerStars Pro. She was a GG Poker Pro,
yeah.
I should say. But she was making some affiliate money that way. She was a popular Twitch streamer, which is what got her this. So she was making some money that way. But then she slammed home this. She beat 67,875 other players to win this event, the $1.5 million. She tweeted it was by far the best day of her life at the time anyway. And here she is now suddenly playing in a 25K buy-in with David Peters at the table. I mean, this is pretty nuts.
Yeah, I mean, both of these players have made the money. But maybe we should discuss, is this a huge fucking mistake for these players to play this event? Like, I know that you hit it big, and I know a lot of grinders who are at, like, a mid-level who, like, do pretty well. This basically describes me, you know, before I became like, a semi-pro instead of a full-time pro.
I think that's right.
Basically, I'm probably very similar to both these players. I don't know if it's... Is it a good idea for us to be playing 25K events if we just come into a bunch of money and decide that's what we want to do?
I mean, I think if you have unlimited money, of course it's fine. But when you don't, which I assume that's true for both these players, that they do not have
if their entire
money.
Source of income is poker, it's not like they have a $300K a year job and they also hit a $1.5 million.
Well, I mean, Vanessa is making money as she's no longer a GG poker affiliate. She's now a
ACR
one. That's a whole other story.
How much can that possibly pay, though? It can't be that
much. As a pro, I imagine they just buy her into some stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, and she gets an affiliate deal like everyone else would get too. I imagine on Twitch she's probably doing pretty well though. That, you know, she's a big enough deal that both Gigi signed her and then ACR signed her
was that all after the $1.5 million score?
No, I don't know. It was not.
Oh, okay.
No, the $1.5 million happened very recently. It actually happened March 24th of this year.
Yeah.
This is all very, very recent.
And
the sponsorship was all before that. She was already an ACR pro by now.
Doing pretty well, pretty comfortable.
I would guess she was doing fine, but this is clearly another thing. Okay, back to your bigger question, though. Should these guys even be playing it? It's a weird thing in poker, right? It's basically the question that all successful poker players have to ask themselves is, should I move up?
Yeah.
Right? That's really what we're asking.
But this isn't moving up.
This is going from
capping out at like a $1,500 online buy-in, probably, to a $25K where David Peters is likely to be at your table or somebody like him.
People like David Peters. Yeah. And it's all David Peters type people. There's Dan Shacks and people like him, and then it's David Peters. So, by the way.
But if Dan Shack is like the amateur, that's not a great field anyway. Dan Shack is a talented amateur.
Dan Shack knows what he's doing. He's going to put pressure on you. He knows how to do that. He knows how to make pros' lives hard. Obviously, they prefer him being at the table than like, you know, the David Peters of the world type people, of course. Like, he's the soft player in those fields, but like, he's not that soft. He's not a huge whale. He's not early stage Bill Perkins.
If he's the worst player at the table, it is not a good table.
You don't want to be there. I wouldn't want to be there as Vanessa Kate or Ivan Zuvic, knowing what I know about them.
Right.
Now, I don't know that much about them, but since these are their biggest scores by a lot, as far as I can tell from looking them up, I kind of think you're right that they probably shouldn't be playing these things. Maybe there's mitigating circumstances. Maybe they want a satellite into it.
Yeah.
Although, even so, why are you playing satellites into that event then? Like, if you're not plus EV to play the event, why are you satelliting into it is a fair question.
I mean, to their credit, they're both in the money, but...
Yeah, that's the other side of it.
This reminds me of a couple of years ago at the World Series of Poker, I was playing the Double Stack, which is a 1K buy-in. Really nice event, like soft field, but also good structure, et cetera.
Yeah, sure.
And I was doing well at this table, and there was this guy who was kind of self-aggrandizing, like lots of poker pro name-dropping stuff, like he knows all these guys.
Yeah.
And we get to talking, and eventually he's like, you gonna play the 50K tomorrow? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And he's like, oh, dude, guess what, though? Tonight there's an 8K satellite. It's, like, super easy to get in through the 8K satellite. And I'm like, that's great, man. Like, have fun playing that. Yeah. But, like, why the fuck would I play an 8K satellite, which is, like, 2K less than the biggest buy-in I've ever played to satellite into an event where I'm going to be, like, the bottom 30% of players? Yeah. Like, what is the point of that?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that most poker players struggle with, of course, is accurately placing themselves in the poker firmament, right, in terms of play. In either direction, mostly, though, people overrate themselves.
Of course.
Some people, a few of us maybe underrate ourselves, too, but that's what I'm looking at myself.
Yeah, I know you are. And doesn't that kind of dispute the entire
premise? I am the most humble person I know, Grant. Yeah. There it is.
Your apple pie is by far the most crumblest, but you act like it tastes bad out of humbleness.
Very good. Yeah. So anyway, but sincerely, this is a weird spot. And in some ways, I could see if you won $1.5 million. Also, it's this year, which means she's got maybe some taxes to pay.
Yeah.
So she is actually more motivated to play some of these bigger events, probably, to pay. So that way,
you're paying effectively like 60% of the buy-in.
Right. So if you're thinking from that point of view, you're like, as long I can be a dog here, I can be a minus R. My ROA could be negative for the actual buy-in. But if I'm only paying 60%. Maybe it's positive.
Okay, and especially, I don't know about the Zuvac kid.
He won it last year.
Zuvac kid. But, yeah, okay, but despite that, for my next point, Vanessa Kade is kind of a big name now. Not kind of a big name, but, like, she's known because of this score and because of some stuff.
I've slightly heard of her
her name had crossed my desk, you know?
Yes,
where the Zuvac kid's name had never crossed my desk, right?
Right.
So for her, there might be a higher expected value based on exposure. Like, maybe she binks one of these things and it puts her in a different stratosphere as far as the type of money she can get from sponsorship deals and stuff.
That's probably true. Yeah. Also, quite frankly, being a woman helps in this spot.
Oh, yeah, because it's such a rarity.
Right. And when I say it helps, I mean specifically in terms of if you win something, your exposure is often going to be higher, right?
Yes, because there's just like poker is like 3% women.
Poker's starving for women, always. There's a million guys. It's just good. You know, there's more sponsorship opportunities, of course there are, and so on and so forth, right?
Right. So maybe it actually makes sense for her.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah, maybe it does. The fact that, as you said, they're both in the top five, they're both in the money, helps their case.
It's anecdotal, but it's a point of evidence in their favor.
Yeah, it's definitely still quite anecdotal, having said all of that. And that is important.
But the ultimate overall thing that I would say is, without the exterior stuff that, like, Vanessa Cade clearly has, where her profile could be raised to an extent where it actually does affect her life in a positive way, kind of the opposite of how William Reynolds went back in the day, you know?
Yeah, that's like, right.
If that happens and she can start getting paid commentary gigs and, like, doing more sponsored events and things like that and just making money that way and not even having to worry about, you know, being a winning poker player anymore, that's a huge deal. That's the dream, right?
No question.
And she's probably just a step away from that, whereas I don't think this other guy is.
Well, let me say something else that is relevant, though, for both of them. Before this event, both of them had already cashed in previous USPO events.
Ah.
Vanessa cashed 2 days earlier in the 10K buy-in. She finished fourth for $94,000.
That's pretty good.
Zufich, let's see, it was 4 days earlier in event seven, also a 10K buy-in. He finished sixth for $59,000. So I don't know if they're playing all the events. That means they might be down coming into this event anyway. That means they're losing money. I don't know if they're playing all the events. They may only be playing 10Ks and you know, perhaps they're both playing with house money a little bit in their minds, at least. That's a good sign, though. This is their second cash of the events.
Maybe they belong.
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
But going with in a vacuum, I would say don't play these events if you don't know that you belong.
Right.
You have to know you belong. Otherwise, you're just giving away money.
Right. If you've never played an event this big, especially if you've never played an event even close to this big and you end up binking something and feel like you want to play it, I guess you can do it, but you have to think of it as an entertainment expense almost. Like you have a little bit of a chance to make some money back, but it's not like a plus EV spot.
It seems like it just can't be a plus EV spot. But then there are people who do come out of nowhere. Now, Ali
Imsirovich.
Thank you very much. He, at least from a high-end poker, you know, the highest-end poker, high-stakes poker thing, seemed to come out of nowhere, right? Poker Masters, I had never heard of him. And then he dominated the Poker Masters and is now just one of those guys, right?
Right, he's just one of the top guys now.
Yeah, and so I don't know what he was doing before that. I think he was probably very successful online.
Yeah.
But there are lots of very successful online people, right, who aren't doing this. So anyway, there's a lot we don't know, I guess, is what I'm ending up with this. That said, yes, this is, if they were paying full price, if there was nothing else going on, this is probably a bad decision by both of them.
Yeah.
But there might be a lot more going on, and they both have had some success already. So we got to give them the benefit of the doubt, I think.
At the same point, to quote Bon Jovi, it's my life and I'm not going to live for, and I'm going to live. How does he say it? I'm going to live forever. He is going to live forever or is he not? No, I can't remember.
It's definitely not going to live forever.
Okay. Right? Good.
I can't wait forever. There's nothing about living. I can't wait forever because I don't want to live without your love. Something like that.
Either way.
I don't want to live for. I don't want to
butcher the shit out of that, but that doesn't matter. The point is, despite all of these factors about expected value and stuff, these people only have one poker life, one shot. Like, and everybody kind of wants to find out if they're that person who can actually take the step, right?
It's fair. And, you know, I could see, especially Vanessa, when you've got all this money to harvest, sort of like losses are okay.
Yeah.
You don't mind the loss as much as you normally might because you can just write it off anyway. Where you think, like, I might be in a lot more spots where I play against players like this. I want to get as comfortable as quickly as I can.
Sure.
Here's a way to do that, right? Like, you play in this event, it's not going to be nearly as big a deal next time David Peters is, like, raising you on the turn. You know, you'll been through those spots already. And,
right.
You know,
this is a good year to do it if you have your $1.5 million score that you're trying to get the tax burden down.
Exactly.
On.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect year to do it.
It makes sense. Anyway, let's see if the plays make sense, because there might be some plays that Jonathan doesn't like very much in this.
Well, I'm going to say this. So far, I am befuddled, bemused, and I be confused by one of these plays. Two of these plays, at least one. One and a half. Let's get into it. On the breakdown with Grant Dennison, Jonathan Lett.
And the opening is finally over.
And play the music.
This was suggested by Chris Jones on Twitter.
Oh, Chris Jones.
Yeah, Rec Poker guys.
Sure.
They're a poker podcast as well. Nice guys.
Very nice guys.
Yeah.
Like those guys.
Yeah, anyway, Chris Jones suggested on Twitter. We are the Poker Guys on Twitter. Include a YouTube link or a PokerGo link or whatever, and the timestamp, or we won't do the damn hand.
Yeah, we'll push back.
We'll fight you.
We might call you a name, but not to your face.
Behind your back, and you won't even know what's happening, but you'll be like a little bit more sad, and you won't know why.
Yeah.
And it could be something else, but it also might be that we called you a big dummy.
Yep,
And you probably, and the universe reacted and threw some negative plasma energy at you or whatever happens.
That's the way they talk about it.
Yeah, the people in science.
Negative plasma energy.
Yeah, the science people say that. Stephen Hawking was all about
that. It's not weird.
No. Black holes and stuff. All right, so we have five remaining. David Peters. Oh, boy, he is actually in the event. He's in the cutoff. He's got 1.5 million at the 50K big blind level. He's got king, queen off.
Yeah.
He's going to be a garbage David Peters.
Ouch.
He's going to open to 100K, min okay. open, fine, whatever. Vanessa Cade is the chip leader. She's on the button with 2.8 million, almost 60 bigs. She has two jacks. Clearly, you have to three bet David Peters and call it off if he shoves. That has to be the plan.
There's no question about it. How many bigs does David Peters have?
He's got 30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're so happy to get it in against David Peters' four bet range here.
Yeah. Love it. Anyway, so she does three bet to 300K. I don't think there's much to say here.
Nothing to say at all.
Here's an interesting decision. The small blind folds, and Ivan Zufic, I think it's that's how you say it.
I've been saying it that way.
You said Zufic.
Oh.
I think it's Zufic.
Let's go with Zufic.
Okay. Based on basketball names, most of the C's are...
You also watched the video where they were saying his name, so you're more likely to know how it's pronounced.
Anyway, he's the second in chips. He's got 2.6 million, so doing pretty well.
Okay.
He's in the big blind with ace of clubs, queen of spades. How do you approach this? This is an interesting spot.
Boy, is it an interesting spot. I don't think we can really fold. I think folding is not really a reasonable option here.
It doesn't feel like it, not against a field like this. Against some fields, you can fold.
There's only five players at this table.
Yeah.
Against almost any field, you can't fold.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain players, maybe not fields, but certain three bettors that you can fold this against.
Okay, but probably never in a 25K.
Almost never
in a 25K, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So we're not going to fold. So the question is to raise or to call, right? I think there's pretty good merit to both, I have to say. So here's some of the merit to calling. Okay, if we call... Okay, I was going to say, I'm already changing my mind on this. So I was going to say, if we call, we can sometimes have David Peters four bet shove.
I don't think we
Vanessa
like that.
Folds, and then we call it off. But I don't think David Peters is going to four bet shove light once we flat.
No, and I don't think we're going to do too well against his range with ace queen off there.
It's not going to be amazing. We may feel like we have to call with all the dead money in there now too. But yeah, so that's not a good option. Okay, so. Is there any other good reason to call? Okay, well, we're going to be out of position. That would make me want to raise more than call. We don't have to put more chips in. That's cool.
Yeah.
By calling, though, we're inviting Peters in. Now we're going to be three ways out of position to both players. David Peters will still be in the hand instead of maybe getting rid of him by four betting. Boy, I want a four bet now that I've talked this one through. What do you think?
Yeah. I think four betting is the best option.
Yeah. It's not ideal because we're going to have to four bet fold this puppy.
Absolutely.
If either player five bets, I think we just absolutely have to fold.
I guess we're going to be priced into calling Peters.
Of course we have to call David Peters, right? Yeah. Of course we will. I'm sorry. But if Vanessa five bets, we just fold.
Yes.
We just don't even think about it. How can she five bet light there? That'd be so sick.
No, she's got to have queens plus to five bet.
Yeah, and she is also newer money like we are as Ivan in this case, right? And so
we're both great Gatsby-ing.
We're both going to be a little more worried about, like, we're both, I guess, less likely to have the ace five suited here to five bet, you know, like, as opposed to David Peters, who actually might somehow have that still. He could still turn up with that.
It would be unlikely.
Of course. But I'm saying if anyone's going to have it, these two are the least likely to be bluffing, I think. So that's good. So that way we can fold confidently if Vanessa five bets us.
It just sucks to put in 30 blinds against David Peters when his range has us epically destroyed.
I mean, it sucks to raise here and have Peters just like, well, I'm all in. And you're just like, oh, this is your point, right? Because now we have to call. Yeah. And he always, I guess he can have tens and decide not to fold.
I guess that's possible.
He never has ace jack, that's for sure.
Never.
It's ace king. I don't even know if I think he probably folds ace queen.
Yeah.
He might decide to fold tens, but probably not. I think he goes with tens.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's close.
He's only put in two blinds. Maybe he folds tens.
He might. He's David Peters. He's got a huge edge.
He's got a huge edge. Also, he knows he's getting called with the two tens. And there's a chance these two stacks are going to go to war. And like he could also like ladder up without really having to do anything.
It doesn't matter, though. We still have to call it off because of the price we're going to be getting.
Of course we do. I'm just wondering like what his range really is. Like I don't think he's folding jacks. But like tens, nines he probably is.
Probably.
I don't know. I'm not sure, David Peters. I don't want to get too far deep inside his head.
Right.
Because I would go crazy and buy a lot of stamps.
I'm going to pretend that made sense. Continue.
I like mailing things. So I think we just have to four bet and like be like, I hope this works out. And I feel kind of dumb doing it because like it's almost like I could have any ace here, but the queen is a little bit of a better blocker, and I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to four bet.
It does feel like I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to 4-bet, and that is the answer.
Yeah.
You know, like, flatting just feels like there's too many pitfalls.
If we were heads up, it'd be really different. We're not. I just feel like we have to 4-bet.
I do, too. So does Ivan.
Yeah.
He makes it 750 over the 300. Do you think that's big enough?
It feels really small, but it does, practically...
But it is a 4-bet, and it's a huge bet relative to the amount of chips left in the tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, like, is Vanessa going to call with... I mean, look, anything that was a legit 3-betting hand, she might be calling with.
Might be.
Anything that was a bluff is obviously going to fold, and I don't think anyone's going to try and rebluff us here, almost ever. So the question is she going to call with hands like king-queen suited when we make it 750?
I think we've had this discussion, and I would absolutely, if I were in her spot.
She's in position.
I would have to.
She's a chip leader, the chip leader. Yeah. I think she's going to feel... So that makes me want to make it a little bit more. I want to, like, try and chase a hand like that out. I want to, like... Basically, I want to put her in a spot where she's effectively 5-betting or folding. Now, maybe she's going to flat the aces and stuff like that. Fair enough. But you know what I mean? But effectively, like, she's committing
bit more. I actually agree with this point pretty strongly, because against Peters, it's all the same to us, right? He's shoving or folding. He's never calling. And if he shoves, we're calling no matter what the amount is. So it's not like the amount that we size it matters against him, really.
Right, not at all.
So it matters against her. And I think just 100K more, 850K... Exactly. Makes it feel like she can't really flat that often. Right?
I agree.
It becomes a shove fold spot. It makes the decision super easy for us.
What's the effective stack between those two players?
2.6 million.
For 850. He's saying I'm committed. He doesn't have to actually be committed, but he's saying it. And now I don't think she's ever going to call there when he's put in a third of his stack, unless she's trapping. Like, it's just hard to do it with king queen now.
Right.
It's going to be a 1-to-1 stack to pot ratio. She's really going to call with king queen there? I don't think so.
Or like ace 10 suited. Like,
right.
What do we? I mean, it just becomes so difficult to play out of position. She's getting such a good price, 450 to win a billion, and like she calls with ace 10 suited, and it's like a 9-high rag flop. Like, what do we do?
Right.
We just see bet and hope it works out. Like, she might not have ace 10 suited. What if she has 2 8s and she's just never folding? Like,
right.
It's much better to make it 850 than 750.
Yep.
Seems like a clear mistake.
We're just going to fold out so much more. So like 2 8s probably just throw their hand away when we make it 850. Yeah. And 750, they may feel like they have to fold. Call. Even though it's only 2 blinds difference, it really feels different. I think just a little bit more. It's funny you said 100K more. I was thinking 100K before you said it.
The potentially negative outcome is against Vanessa Cade's exact hand, 2 jacks, where we're flipping. And if she shoves, we're going to fold
when
we make it 850. But when we make it 750, she can actually call. And maybe we get to win sometimes.
Fair enough. But I'd rather lose those 2 blinds a little bit more of the time and have this hand play easier for me.
I agree.
You know, like, I'd rather have the hand define itself more, since we're not really raising to get called, right? We're raising to fold everybody out. So let's make sure we do that. Let's at least succeed at that.
I mean, a piece of the raise with a hand this good is that sometimes when we get called, we can flop a good enough hand to feel really good about it.
Of course. That is true. And in fact, if she just calls... When we flop top pair, we feel very good about our spot, right? So there is that. So there's some value actually to getting called, I guess. But we're out of position. We're going to miss 2/3 of the time.
We don't hit it often enough to feel good about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just would much rather make it a little bit more and make my life easier.
Yep. Okay. I think that's pretty clear.
Okay.
But he makes it 750.
Okay.
Peters folds.
Of course.
All right. It is an interesting spot with jacks for Cade. Should she effectively shove or should she call?
Shoving is weird because... The only hand we fold out that we want to fold out is this one.
Yeah.
Like, anything else that calls, I mean, I guess 10s might call.
I think 10s folds.
It's a really tough spot for 10s.
Yeah.
You put in a lot of your stack, but how could she be bluffing?
Right.
And if she's not bluffing, you're praying for ace-king.
Yeah.
You just have to fold 10s.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep.
Well, then, if 10s are going to fold and ace-queen are going to fold and everything else is going to call, I don't think we should shove.
Yeah. I agree. Also, we will still have a lot of chips if we call and lose the hand if we don't put any more chips in the pot.
Right. Like, there's certain flops where, like, okay, that's a terrible board for us. Like, you know, ace-queen-X, ace-king-X.
Yeah.
Even king-queen-X. These are really bad, bad boards for us, right?
Yeah.
And ace-X isn't great either.
Right. We probably just fold on ace-high board.
Right. Or if he bets tiny, we can call once and see if he bets again.
Yeah.
Right. But basically, yeah, I think we just have to call and see what happens. But it's not the end of the world to shove. But I just want to call, I think, as her. Even though you can see, shoving here is going to win her a lot of chips without any trouble.
Right.
And calling means we're going to lose. We're going to flip, and we might lose anyway. Like, if a king comes, we might fold.
Yeah.
Sort of sucks, but...
I think calling is the best.
We're in a tournament situation. We got to navigate it as such, right?
Yeah. Calling is the best option, I think.
Yeah.
So does Vanessa. She makes the call.
Okay. We agree.
If you like the best option, you probably like Nitrogen Sports.
Well, because it's the best option.
It is the best option, especially if you use the link in the show notes, as all of the other podcasters say.
Yeah.
I might have to define show notes now because it's such a stupid term.
Yeah.
It's the, you go into a cave and there's like a scroll on the wall and it says show notes.
Yeah.
And there's a link and it's like nitrogen.
That cleared it right up.
/1992, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the link is. You click that link. And you get the Poker Guys bonuses.
Okay, just look at the description of the podcast on your app.
The show notes.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir.
You're talking about nitrogen being the best option. When I was dressing today, I almost chose the vest option, but instead I went with the t-shirt that I'm wearing right now.
I don't know if I've ever heard you more off your game than today.
Fuck you! I'm killing it!
I am the one who recently became a father, and you're coming with the dad jokes hard.
You didn't like the vest option? That's amazing.
The fact that you think it's amazing is very telling.
I'm really pleased with that one. And the other one, by the way.
This is a problematic, disturbing trend that we're dealing with here. Nitrogen Sports, which is the opposite of problematic and disturbing.
Yeah.
It's good. Because of our monthly tournament and other stuff.
Yes.
The monthly tournament can only be accessed if you sign up using the link. There's always an overlay. There's, of course, sports betting. There's casino games. There's other Poker Guys bonuses, such as March Madness pools that they just throw $300 in. Fantasy football bonuses, stuff like that. Get in there, man. And Jonathan will stop telling jokes hopefully soon.
I promise eventually I will stop telling jokes. I was looking at different kind of thermostats for my home, and I chose the Nest option. Come on. No one likes this. I don't understand.
There's only a half hour or so left in the podcast. It's okay.
How is this not? This is so. There are people. You know there's a chunk of our audience who's like, that hits me just right.
Yeah.
So
I'm
good.
Sure there
Way
are.
Way to go, guys.
And I don't respect their sense of humor. If you laughed at that, I don't respect your sense of humor.
You know, I said the thing before about buying stamps. You didn't like that.
That didn't make any sense at all.
I do the dad joke stuff. You don't like that. There's nothing left. I've hit that's the entire spectrum of humor. There is nothing else.
You're right.
Oh, good times.
Life is a 90s sitcom. All right, let's continue.
Okay.
There is $1.7 million in the pot, which I believe might be more than any other player at the table has.
Really?
Already. Let me take a look. No, Jake Daniels has $1.975 million. But beyond that, so that the pot is huge. As far as, this is like a tournament-defining pot now.
Yep.
Just from preflop.
Yeah. And, you know, when you get called, I wonder, like, what's going through Zuvich's like what he feels and what he's thinking, you know, basically.
Like, please flop me an ace or a queen on a pretty dry board.
You've been in this spot when you like make a preflop play like this, right? And I'm sitting there. I'm often when the person's thinking, I'm like, just go all in or fold, man. Just go, like, don't call because that's the hardest.
Then I have to like still pretend to be totally calm and then make a bet.
Like, obviously, sometimes like I'm gonna flop also. I'd rather have you call than go all in, of course. But like from a practical point of view, it's like just end this hand one way or the other, like. Don't make me have to play this now. Like.
Right. There's something like I'm not results oriented in poker to the extent that I am capable of stopping myself. The way I am oriented in poker when I play is like I just want the decision to be clearly correct for me when I make it. Like I want to be given a spot where it's like I can't be blamed for the loss.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the case if she shoves. But that's not the case if she calls. You could still really fuck it up in the future if she calls.
Here we are doing a breakdown about it.
Yeah.
Right?
So maybe that happens.
There could be problems. Yeah.
Anyway, 1.7 million.
Okay.
The flop is not a good one for ace, queen of nothing. Ace of clubs, queen of spades, because it's four of spades, eight of hearts, six of hearts.
Yeah.
That's a bad flop.
Yeah.
She has probably no sets, but she does have over pairs, and she has heart draws.
You know, if we didn't make it so little, this is another problem with the sizing. I think we have to continue now. Like, because king, queen suited probably is here. Like, maybe, those kinds of hands are here.
Yeah.
Like, if we made it a little bit more, we could be like, well, what's calling us anyway? Like maybe the same hand. She might be able to bluff me off with ace queen, but what other unpaired hands are there? There's almost none. It would be much easier to play this hand post flop too if we made it more. Even if she, like I imagine she probably was calling if we made it 850 with jacks, right? But like I would feel much more clear about where I'm at. Instead of now, it's like, am I supposed to continue? Am I supposed to just try and win this pot anyway? If she has nines, is she gonna call again? I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. You know? Well, Zufish decides, I don't know what to do, so I check.
I don't hate it.
I mean, it's a wet board that does not hit us or our range. It doesn't really hit her range, but it hits it more than it hits ours.
I mean, really, we're just talking about, like, it feels like it's the battle of the overpairs. in theory, right? That's the strength. That's the strong parts of both our ranges. And so in that way, it's good for us. And if we continue, she has a hand like jacks. I don't think she can fold.
No, she might fold the turn if we really decide to go for it.
It's going
to
be a really tough spot for her, honestly. Yeah. If we bet small and then shove, and then it's a brick on the turn.
Yeah.
She probably calls off, though.
I don't know.
Five-handed?
That's just such a close one.
Five-handed with jacks?
It's a close one, man.
It depends what she thinks about us, I guess, too, right?
Yeah.
So tight to fold there. You worry about, like, the metagame implications of that. Like, guys like David Peters see that shit, and they're like, yum, yum, you know? I was saying that we should probably bet because we've let too much of our range in preflop now that maybe we can get some of that range to fold.
Yeah.
So maybe we should bet. The fact that he checks, I really don't hate. I think we should just be check folding though. I think we should just, okay, she wants to bet. We're just going to give up.
All right. Well, no opportunity because she checks back.
Which I really like.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to get check shoved on and not know what to do sometimes. That's going
to
suck.
She's going to have to call, I guess, with
jacks. Because of ace, king of hearts, and ace, queen of hearts being in his range.
And who the fuck knows what else he's doing. And like, also, if you think about like, what better hands do we really have here? We have some aces, kings, and queens. Okay. But we're five betting those.
Maybe we have set of eights sometimes.
Sometimes. But like, jacks is one of the best hands we can show up with. There's no way we can fold if he check shoves on us. So if we don't want to be in that situation, we should check it back.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a scary board, you know. There's some bad stuff that can happen. Any overcard's probably the worst thing, but hearts are not great either.
Yeah, that's true, because he could be check raising hearts.
Yeah.
But he might just bet his hearts, too.
I kind of love check raising hearts rather than betting hearts.
But the thing is, if she's going to check back a hand as strong as jacks, maybe check raising hearts isn't so great anyway.
Well, we don't know that she's going to check that back.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. I think it's a close spot with jacks. I think you could easily bet and be totally fine with it because you just call off the check shove and close your eyes and hope it's okay.
Exactly.
And you get to deny equity against ace, king, and ace, queen.
If you're not willing to call it off, you should check. If you're willing to call it off, betting is fine.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything really to discuss here as far as what's better. I think they're pretty similar.
Yeah. By the way, you have to call it off either way. But if that would really be painful to you, it's okay to check instead, I guess is what I really mean, right? We just can't fold this hand, I think, now on this board when the guy checks, no matter what happens, I think.
I think checking just makes it easier. We're in position. Exactly. We get to see it doesn't turn.
Yeah. All right. If he has a hand like ace, king, or ace, queen, maybe he'll take a shot on the turn, and then we can call.
Yeah.
Like, we're pot controlling, too.
Yep. Turn is the five of diamonds. Should not scare Kate at all. It's 4, 6, 8, 5, so obviously a seven makes a straight, but who has a seven, right? Like, it'd be shocking to find out that Zufich had a seven, especially when he didn't bet the flop. If he somehow had it in his four betting range, he's betting the flop if he has a seven.
He might jam the flop because he's got about a 1-to-1 stack to pot, right? He might just be like, I'm all in, figure it. You tell me if you got it, you know, like whatever. Yeah. I assume he's not four betting sevens pre because he doesn't have any blockers.
No. Or maybe ace seven suited, but again, that would probably show up on the flop.
A lot of the time, you would think so. Unless he was check raising all in.
So as Kate, either we were always losing or we're still winning.
Yep.
Basically.
Seems like it.
Yeah. So do you think Ivan should now take a shot with his ace-queen? Try to fold out the other ace-queen or whatever it is, the king-queen suited.
Well, the interesting spot is from Ivan's point of view, she either has an overpair or she's got a chopper worse, right? Like you're not. So like we may think we can't really fold out the overpairs with the bet.
Yeah.
And the chops, okay, ace-queen we could fold out, but everything else we're beating anyway.
Yeah.
And we block ace-queen as hard as you can.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, part of me wants to bet, again, just to make this easier on myself.
It's a huge pot that we could just win.
Exactly. Like, let's bet. We don't have to bet a lot. We could bet, what, 450,000?
Yeah.
Which is a lot of our stack, but not a lot relative to the pot. And she has ace-queen, she's just going to fold, right?
Yeah.
She has king-queen or any of those
like,
hands.
Like, I'd like to fold them all out. I don't want to get bluffed. I don't want them to hit the random card.
Right. This is so hard to win this pot. I think I want to bet and bet small and just be like, I can still have kings, I guess, sometimes. I don't know. You can't really have kings much. But we can both have about the same amount of kings, maybe. Whatever. But, like, I can have it somewhat, some of the time, maybe. Who the fuck knows? Just go away. Like, that's most of it. It's like, I don't really care about the story. Just please leave. Like, it's a lot of chips. It's a big spot for everyone. You don't like it either, right, Vanessa? Just fold. Now, of course, she would never actually fold jacks if we bet 450K, but
we're not targeting jacks.
We're not targeting jacks.
Yeah.
Targeting a lot of other stuff.
Either way, he checks.
Okay.
I kind of understand why.
You can check, give up.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Cade now is going to bet, which I like. I mean, let's deny some equity. If he checked aces twice, good for him. He's getting my bet.
Whatever.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
She bets 575, pretty small, 575 and 1.7. Just deny that equity. You're never folding out a better hand, so
right.
Let's bet the minimum that lets us deny equity.
We're still calling it off. We still don't like it. If he has somehow his pocket fives, pocket sevens, ace seven, too bad for us.
Yeah.
We're just calling it off. So be it.
Well, we didn't deny the equity because he calls with the two overs. He calls with ace queen. Let's talk about that because I think Jonathan is starting to get his ire up.
You know what I am?
Irish.
I'm bemused. I'm befuddled.
Uh-huh. What else?
I'd be confused.
Yeah, okay, good.
Because, like, I can justify this the tiniest bit, which is her unpaired hands, pretty much all of them are losing to us or chopping with us and mostly losing, right? Well, no, because we made it 750, I guess she can have ace-jack suited.
Yeah, right? She can probably have ace-jack suited.
Maybe ace-10 suited.
Yeah, king-queen suited.
And she's like, okay, I guess I should try and win this pot rather than let you have it. So that's the reason to call. But I would rather just bet rather than put myself in this horrible spot, personally. You know, we're now like, also, if we just call here, she can just shove the river if she's bluffing anyway, if she wants to. We don't look like we love our spot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't like this call, even though I understand that we are beating some of her range. A little bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is that she checked back the flop, right? Like, it seemed like a good play to us that she checked back the flop with jacks. I don't think it's expected if you're in Zufich's seat for your opponent to check back an overpair.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not putting them on an overpair and you don't think any of their unpaired hands beat you, it makes sense to call.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Now, of course, these are subjective assumptions that at least one of them is clearly wrong.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I've been in this spot almost exactly, actually. I remember being in the Chinook main event. It was like an $1,100 buy-in, so a little different in that way. And Angela Jordanson opened, actually, who's some people may know who that is.
Yeah.
I had Jax, I 3-bet. I can't remember this guy's name. There's a guy who hates me because I look at him. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Tam.
Tam. Tam. Cold 4-bets. And Tam, like, only cold 4-bets with it. He's never bluffing there. I call. I sort of hate it. It's like a 9-high board. He checks. I check jacks right back, like, comfortably. Because I'm like, I'm folding if he check raises all in. So he's just too tight. The turn is like a deuce. He checks again. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll deny equity. And I bet. And then he shoves. And I don't know what to do. You know, and I go into the serious tank. And I, like, talk. And I, like, it's this guy always has it. He always has it. And I'm like, but why would he play ace-king? Why would he play aces like this? Wouldn't he bet the turn? Would he really go for the check raise after I check back the flop on this brick? I don't believe it. So I finally call. He has ace-king. I win. And so I'm saying, like, as someone who checked back jacks there, I sort of understand that that's a possibility for certain players. You know what I mean? That was the point of that whole story. Is like, I can see that. I've done that. You know?
I thought it was a story to talk about how great you are and how you won a hand one time.
It's not really about how great I am.
Oh, you figured it out. He had ace-king. It's obvious. Jonathan Levy.
I was really glad when he actually turned it over, though. I definitely didn't figure it out. I was like, I think he has ace-king enough.
Was that the beginning of him hating you, perhaps?
I think it may have been the beginning of him hating me, actually, yes.
Cool.
Boy, does he hate me. Anyway, so the point is, like, the players can really show up with a hand like the overpairs like this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not impossible.
Yeah.
It's like, she did it, I did it. Other players are going to do it, too, that means, if we both did it in these spots.
All of that said, for all the reasons that we've already stated, I think it's okay to call this turn once we're here.
It's not that bad. Here's the problem. How many chips are we going to be left with now?
Yeah, no, it's not ideal. I think overall, we messed up the thought process of the hand. We should have been more aggressive at some point post-flop. If we're going to put more chips in the pot, that's probably an easier way to do it.
It's so much easier. Just practically. It's so... Because, like... We now set ourselves up for all these potential weird river spots. If we bet and we get called, we know she doesn't have, you know, king queen.
Yeah.
Almost ever, right?
Yeah.
She probably doesn't have ace jack. Almost ever. Probably doesn't even have ace queen.
Or the random jack 10 suited that maybe she 3-bet and then, like, she's like, the price is too good. I have to call, you know, briefly.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, I would, now, we keep those alive so that way we can bluff catch against them, but boy, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
And are we really going to call a river bet? Because if not, then the jack 10 could bluff us out anyway.
Right.
And we just, for more chips, which I hate, that piece of it. I mean, now, I don't hate the decision-making even necessarily, but I hate being in that spot where now we're going to call a turn bet to fold the river, you know, when we're still bluff catching. Like, well,
maybe the plan is to call the river.
Maybe.
Anyway, the pot's now 2.85 million. The river is the eight of clubs. It pairs the top card. So it's 4, 8, 6, 5, 8 with a missed heart draw.
It is a polarizing-ish type board.
Yeah, 4-8, 6-5, 8. We've got ace-queen for Zufich and jacks for Cade.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to check the river, so yeah. He's not going to make a move. That makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Should Cade go for value?
Okay, first question. Do we think we're winning if we're Vanessa?
I think it's very likely that we're winning.
I think we're winning like 80% of the time at least.
Yeah.
Okay. That means we should bet for value. We should go for it. It's a polarizing enough board. Maybe he'll talk himself into some weird call.
Okay.
With a worse hand.
So should we be polarizing with our sizing? Should we go all in?
Great question. What are we targeting?
Well, we're targeting ace-king, it feels like. It doesn't seem like he's got too many 10s and 9s as played. You'd feel like he'd bet those on the flop almost all the time.
Feels like he bet those a lot of the time on the flop. Yeah, you're right. Targeting ace, getting ace-king to call a shove here is like a lot. This is this kid's tournament. This kid is like one big score in his life.
So we shouldn't go for polarizing. We should go for approachable.
Isn't it going to be obvious, though? Like, is ace-king going to call any amount of money
here? You want to be Jan from the Toyota commercials. Non-memorable,
yeah.
Safe. Approachable.
Maybe he sometimes has smaller pairs too that he doesn't bet the flop with because he doesn't know where he is and he doesn't want to. He's like, I can check call this. Maybe. Seems unlikely, but I'm just trying to come up with other hands to put in the range that can call us here. Like if he's got nines and he chose to play them differently than the way we're. He chose not to bet the flop with them.
Yeah. And,
or the turn. Jeez. But maybe.
Sure, maybe.
It's asking a lot, isn't
yeah.
it? Okay. Okay. Hard to believe. So we're really targeting ace king.
Yeah. And I guess ace queen too.
I guess, sure.
Yeah.
I guess we should bet really small.
Yeah.
And hope. I almost think like ace-king or ace-queen would like not call a really small bet. Because
would they
be
call
like,
a shove though?
No. It has to be a scary enough bet though to like make it look like we're trying to bluff, doesn't it?
I don't think so because of the tournament scenario
yeah,
where all the players scary. Are pretty short.
You're right.
And like just in practice, especially a player who hasn't been in these spots over and over and over again, threatening their tournament life is going to be far more effective at getting folds. And if we don't want to fold, we shouldn't do that.
Okay, I like that. Also, there's some players, and I don't know about Ivan one way or the other, who are just mathy. And so you give him a better price, he's going to call more of the time, and that's that.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's generally correct.
Right.
So by betting smaller, we're giving him a better price, and we have a better chance of getting called by one of these hands from that point of view, too.
Yep.
Right? I mean, if we bet 100,000, I don't know if we're going to get called by.
Is there any reason to consider checking back? Like, are we going to put ourselves in a spot where we let this guy do some fancy shit because we bet really small? And he's like, I think that's like marginal thin value. I'm going to have to check shove on you and see if you got the chutzpah to call.
How much is he going to be shoving for?
Well, let's see.
It's he gonna be
started
like
with 2.6 million. He's down to like 1.85.
Then he puts
down
to like
1.3. So she's going to bet. She bets 500K. So it's
going
to
be 800.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a tough spot that would be for Vanessa
yeah.
if he shoved there. What a tough spot. Boy, that's one of those spots where you're really walking the tightrope, and you could avoid it all just by checking.
Right.
Taking your victory. Wow. That's a good question. Do we think he has many shoves in him, though?
No, most players don't. I'm just wondering if it's worth worrying about.
I think until proven otherwise, we shouldn't worry about it. If it's okay. Steven Chidwick,
then we maybe call the shove.
Yeah, exactly. We bet call. I think we do. But against this kid, we probably bet fold. We probably just like he doesn't have bluffs here, right?
Probably.
Like, don't we have pocket sevens much more than he does?
Yeah.
So how can he shove on us?
Right.
He shouldn't be able to shove
on
us.
You're right. That makes sense. And I think Cade did come up with the best process of trying to get money here, which is to bet small. I think that was the correct move. 500 into 2.85 million.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Ace-queen probably shouldn't be calling this.
No, but let's talk about it because now Ivan has to think about it.
Well, I will say this. Remember I was saying like the thing I hate the most is to call the turn to then get bluffed out on the river. So like if our plan is to call, turn, fold, river, I don't love that plan. So call on a brick, which this is ultimately, on a blank, is probably a better plan than call fold. I don't know if I like even call on the turn, but is this better than call fold? Is this better as an overall plan?
If he calls?
Yeah.
I think it for this size, I mean, like, I kind of feel like it is. Like, You have to ask yourself the question of if she's willing to bet this small with king queen as a bluff.
Of course. Right? If we think she is, then we probably just have to call.
Because if she has a hand like jack 10 suited or king queen suited or ace jack suited and like is just like taking a shot in the turn, got called, and is like, well, you can't really have that much, right, Ivan? So I have to take a shot. I actually don't hate the idea of calling just in case that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Do we really think she's going to bet 500,000 as a bluff instead of betting more? I don't know.
I don't know. We're getting a really good price, so that helps. On top of, like, the check back on the flop might be kind of going through our head. Like, would you really check back an overpair?
Right.
Would you really let me get there?
Don't you want to win this huge pot that, like, really matters in the spot?
Because if she doesn't have an overpair, I don't know what she has. Like, you'd really expect her to also bet hands that turn into straights, like pocket sevens, or turn into sets, or worse sets on the flop, right?
She didn't have to at pocket sevens. I mean, she's got showdown value, and she doesn't want to get blown off it, maybe, sometimes.
You're never getting blown off. You also have the gut shot. You're just calling it off.
I guess that's probably true. She might check it back a little bit.
She might.
But I think you're probably right. You just got to bet call and be like, hope you have ace, king of hearts, and it's a flip, I guess. You know?
Either way, if the flop check is kind of confusing, plus, like, you didn't three bet that big. You put these, you know, suited connector type hands and king, queen, and ace, jack, and ace, 10 suited in her range. I can see talking myself into a call getting 6-1.
I mean, 6-1 is pretty good. We don't have a heart in her hand, which maybe helps a little bit. She didn't bet the flop. Yeah, she's usually going to bet the flop
not
with
as much
hearts.
Of a factor
but of it's something. It's better than having a heart in her hand if we had to pick, right?
I don't know. I don't think many players have the gear to bet small as a bluff here in this type of spot.
I agree. I think most players, when they're bluffing, go all in. They're like, it's your whole tournament. Fucking figure it out, buddy. Good luck. Like, obviously, you don't love your spot. You really going to call it off here?
Yeah.
Unless you're slow playing a monster, you're just not, right? Like, you're just going to hate your life and fold. So I feel like that's a real problem.
It is.
Which then goes back to even the question, me questioning her sizing, which we already talked about. If we're going to give him this great price and all that, but if guys like you and me are going to be like, it's not enough. Like, she needs to bet. I don't believe she's bluffing anymore. And we're right. That's a problem.
Well,
right?
To her credit, he does call.
Exactly.
And I bet he would have folded to a shove. So.
Yeah, no, I think she ends up, this ends up working out. I mean, this works out so crazy well for her. Like, I don't think it could have worked out better. There's no way to get more money than she got, basically.
I can actually see reasons for the calls, for both calls from Ivan.
Yeah,
I think I would
too.
Have liked to take a more aggressive line post-flop. But back when this hand first came across our radar, you said you thought this was among the worst calls you'd ever seen.
I don't feel that way.
I strongly disagreed, citing the Fatima de Melo aces call.
It wasn't because you thought the calls were good, to be fair. It's because you thought you could think of significantly worse calls, which I ended up agreeing with you even then on, in fairness. But having done this now, gotten really into it, I actually feel like I do understand why he's calling in both spots. And don't know if you... the only question I have is she ever betting 500,000 as a bluff? After she bets 575 on the turn and she
Hard
can easily
to know.
Shove.
Hard to know. Well, either way, Ivan still got second in the tournament.
She got fifth. He got second.
So I guess the world is upside down. Or maybe losing those chips was actually the goal. You ever think of that?
It changed the strategy. It made everything easier to play. Vanessa ended up finishing fifth for $138,000. Ivan finishes second for $345,000. David Peters wins the whole thing for $466,000. 10th place, John Riordan, $51,750.
Thank you for that 10th place.
Sure. Frank Finero finished sixth. I think that's Frank the Tank, the guy who I bet $500.
Oh.
I guess, and is like now shows up a lot on things because he's so crazy and whack.
He's always drinking a ton.
Drinking like insanity, doing absolutely bizarre things. But he won a WPT doing all this. Of course, he's played a lot with our friend Mitch as well in Arizona back in the day.
I think in Utah, actually.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere. Yeah, I don't know where, I guess. Anyway, yeah, he finished sixth. I'm pretty sure that's the same Frank.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic, and I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe.